The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
Hey! This is that story show, people.
Hallelujah!
You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is that story show. The show that puts your real life stories into the spotlight. It's episode 441, brought to you the week of July 20th, 2023. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John, and I almost forgot how to do this.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Oh, I'm supposed to something witty, aren't I?
Yeah, if you can.
I'm dad joked out. I got nothing.
All right. How about this one?
Who came prepared today?
I used to be addicted to salt. No, soap. I used to be addicted to soap, but now I'm clean. How about that?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's a good one. Well, congratulations, I guess.
That's the wrong one. But anyway.
Are in order.
Yeah. So people are telling the end of the world jokes like, there's no tomorrow.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. All right. We always start with an opening story. This one's called Demon Dodger. He says, it's from Jacob Crum in Taylorsville, Utah. During college, he says, my buddy and I moved to an apartment complex that had shared rooms. When my buddy fell asleep and started breathing loud that first night, I had to stop him. Since I have a hard time sleeping with any kind of noise, not wanting to get out of bed and roll him over, I decided to make him move by shaking the small shelves between our beds. I thought that maybe a little bit of noise, you know, would help. To my surprise, he did stop snoring. Soon, however, he started snoring again, so I shook the shelves again, and sure enough, he stopped, and finally I fell asleep. The next morning, I found out that he had not been asleep the whole time, as I had supposed. The loud breathing was just part of his relaxing in bed. As he lay there and the shelves started shaking, he thought our apartment was haunted.
Oh.
Terrified, he started praying to God that the demons would leave our room. He was definitely relieved and annoyed to find out that it had been me the whole time. Jacob Crump. So there you go.
Oh man, he could have totally got, you know, some priests involved and got a whole exorcism going.
Yeah, yeah.
Turns out people pay good money for that. Sleep in haunted dorm rooms and stuff.
It reminds me of a
good job, Jacob.
In the youth ministries that I was involved in, there were all these guys and they were sleeping up in a chapel in the upstairs. What do they call that? The
attic?
the vomitorium.
Vomitorium?
Yeah, look it up. Anyway, they were sleeping up there where the extra seats are. And this one kid comes in and he goes to the altar and it's dark in there. And he just sees a chapel and he starts praying. And they're like, Taylor. And he stops praying. And they say his name again, Taylor. It's echoing through the chapel. We've come for you, Taylor. Taylor screams, but doesn't scream like a girl or scream like a man. He screams out, "You've been hounding me my entire life. Leave me alone."
Leave me alone.
So they felt really bad because apparently this kid had been tortured his whole life mentally, you know, and finally they made him think he was hearing them. So he was ready to fight, though. He wasn't going to take it laying down like Jacob Crump's friend did. You know,
he was going to take him on.
He was going to fly around.
I learned a word today, James.
Yeah. What is vomitorium mean?
A vomitorium is a passage situated below or behind a tier of seats in an amphitheater or a stadium through which big crowds can exit rapidly at the end of an event. They can also be pathways for actors to enter and leave the stage.
There you go.
Thank you, Wikipedia.com. Vomitorium.
I know. It's weird.
I thought you made that word up.
No.
Look at you.
Oh, man.
We got a new name meme for our show. We got Narthex and Vomitorium.
Vomitorium. All weird names for parts of a church that you never knew existed. It's time for us to rewind the week. As you know, the weekly rewind is where we rewind and tell you something from the last week or so. But since we haven't been on for 3 freaking months, We could pick whatever we want.
So, yeah, this happened in the last week or so.
I don't remember if I've told this one or not, so I'm just going to say it. And if you remember it, I've got a backup. Okay?
Okay.
All right,
I can pretend like it's new.
I have Google Photos on my phone, and it has a habit of sending me notifications to click on and see little albums that it's put together with its AI self, you know, and yes. It's often pictures of my children throughout the years growing up. And I find them quite enjoyable. And I also find it a little amazing and a little scary that it can take my son's face from birth all the way to today and recognize him even in the background of a photo, you know, just like this little head stuck out. And it's like, cause he's changed so much. If I showed you 2 pictures, you wouldn't know, you know, that it was the baby version of this kid today. But, anyway, it's usually pretty good at it, but I was scrolling through a James, filtered, album and it was all these baby pictures and he was so chubby when he's little. That's what I guess is so crazy. He had these big puffy cheeks and his eyes were real squinty and now he's all long and thin and stuff like that. But I was scrolling through these baby chubby pictures and all of a sudden, poof, a stack of marshmallows that I took a picture of appeared in the timeline there. So Google's smart, but ain't that smart. But somehow it confused my chubby son for a pile of marshmallows.
Oh, no. See, what it did was it took the 2 memories and merged them together because those were marshmallows. Those were your child's first marshmallows.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
That's what it must have been. No, yeah. I think my son's so chubby that they
chubby
were like,
bunny.
He belongs in this thing of marshmallows belongs with James. So,
yeah, that's what we'll do.
Yeah.
Looks like marshmallows. Sweet like marshmallows.
Aw. He's 15 now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
15.
He wants to play Grand Theft Auto. He's not old enough.
Oh, you going to make him wait till he's 18?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. So, okay, this can be my weekly update because this is actually happening tonight.
Okay.
My son, who is an 18-year-old young man, mm-hmm. he graduated and all that stuff, all that everything. He's been dying to see this movie. And I'm like, okay, he wants to see Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Which is, it's an adult rated movie. I believe it's rated R.
Right.
It's a Christopher Nolan film. I don't know much about it. I probably should have reviewed it first, but he's like, Dad, I want to see Oppenheimer. He's been telling me this for months. It seems I want to see Oppenheimer. And I'm like, why do you want to see Oppenheimer? And he's like, cause it's Christopher Nolan. He doesn't sound like that when he talks, but that's my version of him.
Yeah.
It's Christopher Nolan. And I'm like, well, that's great. You know, he makes some good movies. Interstellar was amazing. And this Batman, didn't he do a few Batman movies?
Sure.
One was Christian Bale.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. Anyways, great. But anyways, he asked if he can see this and it's rated R. And the dad in me said, heck no, you're not old enough to see
right,
that yet.
Right.
But then my grown up brain says, he's 18 years old. He can move out if he wants.
Yeah.
He's done with school. And so I said, all right, man, have fun. Reserve your ticket. Go get your seat and go watch Oppenheimer. So it's one of those, it's not a funny weekly update.
No.
It's one of those, apparently I'm going through this phase of life.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. My daughter's 18 and having to let her go and let her do stuff, you know, and yeah, it's a weird time. It's a weird time, but it's funny because it still keeps you up when they're out. And yeah. my wife has decided there's no difference between them when they're one and when they're 18, because both of them at those different ages ruin your sleep just for different ways that they do it. One of them, you know, keeps you up all night because they're crying. The other one keeps you up all night because they're not home yet, you know.
Because they're quiet. Yeah. They keep you up because it's too quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'll have to let you know how Oppenheimer goes.
Yeah, I actually want to see it. It's supposed to be 3.5 hours long, dude.
3.5?
Yeah.
I thought he told me it was 3 exactly.
I don't know. What do I know?
Probably. I don't know. I guess, you know, I've got my Find My on my phone so I can tell where he's at. So if he's not at the movie theater, then I'll be giving him a call.
Bust him. Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing over there in the middle of nowhere, dude?
Yeah, you got to keep an eye on him. I'm ready for my daughter to go to college, though, because I'm ready for my wife to quit worrying as much. She's even said it. She's like, why am I so worried? When she's in college, I won't worry, you know? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you'll find a way. You'll find a way.
Yeah. Is she eating enough? Is she going to bed on time?
Yeah.
Does she have friends?
Are they treating her nice? It's weird. Anyway, we got some listener emails. Mitch says, I'm sitting here watching Q! It's a British show about facts for nerds who enjoy comedy. And on season 14, episode 1, around 19 minutes in, they mentioned the word Belfie and how it is, in fact, a butt selfie. Apparently, the word became famous from Kim Kardashian back in 2012. He says, I'm not sure when you started talking about it, but I felt the need to share. Thanks for the awesome show. Keep it up. I listen to you guys when I go down to the specialist for doctor's appointments. It helps me not lose my mind in traffic. Mitch. Well, I did the homework and found out the first time we ever mentioned a Belfie was in episode 208, which happened in 2014.
Oh.
So though I had never heard it coined before that, and we did make it up as far as we knew, leave it to Kim Belfie. Kardashian to beat us to the punch on a Belfie.
Well, I probably have a joke somewhere, but I won't say it.
Yeah, I don't know how Kim would get the camera far enough away from herself to take a picture of all that she's got.
Yeah, besides, they're not all they're cracked up to be.
Right.
You get it?
Yeah.
Butt crack.
Right. I gotcha. No, it's fine. Hey, quick announcement. We do have That Story Show hats. They are brand new and available for a limited time only. You can get yours at Etsy.com/NLcast. get them while they last. We would love for you to be wearing a hat. It is 100% cotton twill. You know, it's a dad cap, low profile. It's nice. I have mine on right now. And
it looks good.
It would be good. We do have a featured story, so let's listen to that.
Let me tell y'all a story.
All right, so this is actually something new we're trying called Interactive Stories. First one is with Stephen Forster. It is where we get on a call and he tells me the story, and we have a little bit of fun. So it's pre-recorded. I hope you enjoy it. Here it goes. How you doing, cool. Folks? This is James, and we're doing our first Interactive Story with Stephen Forster. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Hey, thanks for having me back, James. Great to be here.
No problem, no problem. So you've got a story for us, eh?
Yes, I do, sir. Yes. This took place last year, I guess. My son, who is now 6 years old, he was 4 on his way to turning 5, and he was potty trained, but at the time he was still struggling a little bit sometimes with wiping himself.
Oh, so, yeah, yeah.
That's the perfect setup right there.
I remember when Jenna was at that age, and there would be this, wipe me, and then you wouldn't go, you know, and then... Eventually, the screams would come, wipe me! Wipe me! Yeah, so.
For sure. So my 4-year-old son at the time, for those who don't know, I travel and sing gospel music, and I preach in a lot of different churches all over the country. And I was down in Florida for a few weeks singing. My family was down there. My wife was back at the RV with our baby, and I brought my 4-year-old to this church service. Real small church. They like rented a storefront that had been abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only just a handful of people there. My son's sitting in the front row, just eating snacks, enjoying himself while I'm singing. He was perfect. Absolutely perfectly behaved. Yeah, good little kid.
It's great that you've got a kid that'll do that. That's rare. So
yeah, for
hats
sure.
off to you.
And so we get almost done. It's down to like second or third song from the end, and all the funny stuff I do had disappeared. We're getting serious, it's getting spiritual, you know.
Yeah.
And then he finished his snack, and he just stands up and walks to the back of this tiny little storefront church to go to the bathroom. And
oh,
I thought, okay, well, he's probably fine. You know, not a big deal, right?
I hear the doom music starting to play in the background.
Yeah, exactly. It switches from like the invitational organ music to the doom music. So I'm up there, like, I'm, like, giving a testimony, right? Like, it's serious business at this point, getting all spiritual.
Yeah.
And he went to go to the bathroom, and I'm like, he'll be fine. Not a big deal. And I'm giving this testimony. I was going to sing a song and then do, like, one more. And in this tiny, tiny little storefront church, there's, like, 8 people there. The bathroom is real close. And at the top of his lungs, he starts screaming, "Can somebody please help me? I need some help!" Oh,
gosh. He's not even real picky. He's just like anybody, just somebody, yeah. Not well, dad, just, you know.
Right. Well, then imagine me. I'm up here at the front. I'm sitting at a keyboard giving a testimony about to sing a song, and I kind of froze for a second. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I've never had that problem before. And so I'm like, do I just abandon the show to go wipe my kid's rear end, or I don't want some stranger wiping him?
No.
And fortunately, the pastor's wife saved me. She stood up. She's like, "Would you like us to take the love offering right about now?"
Ah.
Oh. And so I was like, "Yes, thank you, thank you." So they took the love offering, and someone else got up and sang a song or two while I went back and dealt with my kid. But that was so funny. I wound up texting that to all of my brothers and my parents and everybody that night. It was just
that really was a love offering. Maybe the first one ever given. You know, to just everybody was helping you out. You know, let's pass the plate really slowly to allow for him to get completely caught up on all his dad duties back there. That's great.
Duties.
For sure. It's now when people, like, if I'm doing an interview or something on the radio or someone asks me for a funny road story, that's my first go-to one now, is the time my 4-year-old interrupted the service with, "Can someone please help?"
Yeah, yeah. Bless his heart. Because he knew dad was busy, so he didn't call out for daddy. Daddy's busy. Daddy's doing Jesus stuff. So You know, I got to call out for somebody else, and kids don't know.
The elders of the church,
right. You know? For sure.
Lay hands on him. Take care of that.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, right?
All
there.
Right. Well, before you go, tell us where we can find you online.
Yes. So, as I said, I sing gospel music, play a bunch of instruments. You can find me at ForresterMinistries.com. ForresterMinistries.com is the website. You can find me on Facebook, Stephen Forrester Ministries. There's some videos of me on YouTube, Instagram, Stephen Forrester Ministries. So it's pretty universal.
And they can find your music on all the music sites as well?
All the music streaming services, iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify.
Napster.
Pandora, YouTube Music, all the streaming services. If you use it, it's probably there.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on today.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It was a pleasure.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. And so that was our first ever interactive story. What'd you think of that?
Cool. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. And I think that really kind of, it kind of frees up the opportunity for featured story. I mean, it's interactive stories, but featured stories, because now you can go out and grab them anytime you want.
Exactly. So if you're interested in doing an interactive story, I don't have a page on the website set up yet. We're still kind of in the beta, but if you're interested, email me at james@nlcast.com and I'll show you where you can sign up for a time slot. Listener stories. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All right, it's time for the middle school drama of the week.
Dang it! Move out of the way, stupid.
This one's called A New Sensation by Jaden Cranston Sutton, St. James Spalding, UK.
Cool. All the way from across, I'm not going to say the pond because that's cliche, but all the way from across the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, I think the pond's nice. Cool. I watched this guy on YouTube who's British. He's been in America 15 years, and he does his whole show is called Across the Pond, and he talks about differences between the U.S. And the U.K. It's pretty cool. So anyway,
is that right?
Free
does he
promotion.
Ever bring up the Revolutionary War? And
nobody and, did talk about 4th of July and how British people handle it. Yeah. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll have to listen to that sometime.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a normal school day, and it was all fine until the end of the day. Because at the end, Miss Laud, our side teacher, I don't know what a side teacher is.
Side teacher? Well, I got a teacher on the side just in case I don't learn enough.
I love Miss Belfie, but on the I see Miss Laud for math on the side. So anyway, Miss Laud, our side teacher, whatever the heck that is, came in and said, "Oi, what's going on in here?" That's the best Oi. English accent ever. You better not be having fun in here. So she's joking around as she walked in. She grabbed something. I don't remember what. And as she was walking out, I said, "Oh no, there goes the witch."
No.
Yeah. I don't know why Jaden said that. Middle schoolers sometimes say stupid things.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So she whipped That's around. Me. She made a shocked face and gasped. And everybody laughed and clapped and cheered at the moment. So I don't, maybe it's a cultural difference, but in my country, everybody would have like sucked in air. It would have pulled somebody in from the hall into the classroom. There'd be such an indraft. So anyway, he says, "I felt alive."
"I felt alive for the first time ever. Here I am."
Sin kind of does that though, doesn't it? At first. It makes you feel alive when you eat that cookie. It's great until you get caught. Well, anyway, then she told me that if I said that to anyone else, I'd be in great trouble and tribulation and whoopings and spankings and everything. Moral great of the story, trouble. Don't call your side teacher a witch for attention. There is no moral because you didn't get in trouble, Jaden.
Ugh. Well, maybe he got in English trouble, you know? That's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because unlike her saying, "Don't you ever say that to anybody else ever," it could have been like the most, you know, whereas over here in America, they lock you up and tell you, kick you out of school for a week. And
maybe they expect it from their kids. Maybe their kids are just a different level of bad, you know? Like that's normal for them. I'll give you an example. When I was in Ireland, I was doing middle school ministry, and there was this one kid. There were two twins, and one of them was being great, and the other one was being just a punk. He was just being bad, like talking when he wasn't supposed to, not sitting in his chair. And when it was over, I told him, "Walk me to your parents," because we were at this holiday park. I said, "Walk me to your mom, and we're gonna have a talk with her." Well, we get about halfway there and dude just takes off. He just runs away. Ooh. And the other twin though comes up and says, he's a moron. You know, "I'll take you to my mom." And so we did it. I was like, "Ma'am, I'm sorry to bother you, but Lawrence here." And she's, "Was he being an idiot?"
"Being an idiot."
And I said,
"Whoa, wait, that was Irish." "Well, Irish, right?"
"No, she was English. She was English."
"Oh, she was English."
"Yeah." "Okay." So it kind of made me step back a step on the steps because I was like, I didn't, wow. And I'm like,
"Can we say idiot here?"
And then I'm like, "Do I agree with her?" Or I said, "Well, he just wasn't behaving. And I think maybe the youth group would be better for him than the middle school service." And she's like, "Oh, I'll take care of him, you know." But yeah, is he being an idiot? And I'm like, wow.
Being an idiot.
So maybe they expect idiocy from their children over there. I don't know. Somebody can let us know.
Yes, please. Maybe Jaden can let us know.
Yeah, but he didn't get away with it. I don't know.
He didn't get away with it.
You know, it's different in America because in America, children never make mistakes. If you go to the parent and try to tell them, you know, they're like, "Oh, well, I'm sure it was just because the service was boring. You must not have been."
Yeah.
His level is just about five times smarter than everyone else. I mean, don't you know we're in America where all white children are geniuses? You know,
that's right.
And so, you know, maybe
hear the helicopter blades going as they're talking about their kids.
Maybe they're just a little more honest about their children over there. I don't know. Well, anyway, you got a story for us.
I do. It's this is about marriage, James. This is about misunderstood marriage.
Oh.
And before I get into it though, I just want to point out we have like 16 plus people in the show with us live right now, and it's just so awesome to see all of you. So thank you for joining us. I won't read their names cuz I'll take forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will read the story.
Well, thank you guys for being here. If you want to join us live every Thursday at 5 p.m. Central on our Discord server. You can find out all about that at nlcast.com. So,
yeah. But this is Misunderstood Marriage, comes to us from Jody B. in Beaver Creek. We all think that our grandkids say funny things. I don't know because I don't have any myself. That's me saying that, John. But Jody says, sometimes my grandson will say things that he knows will make us laugh. Well, this time I don't think he was trying to be funny. Our daughter, who is also his mom, was showing him some pictures of our daughter's wedding day, of her wedding day. At the time, our grandson was about 6 months old. So he was the adorable little ring bearer.
Oh,
I don't know if I could let a 6 month old be a ring bearer.
They don't actually hold the real ring, though.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Well, they were all looking at the beautiful pictures of the wedding when they came across a picture of my husband, whom our grandkids call Grumpa.
Grumpa.
Kind of a scary name. Grumpa.
If you don't go to bed, the Grumpa will get you.
Grumpa will get you. The Grumpa waits outside for your soul.
I want to see Grandma, but Grumpa scares the crap out of me, Mom.
No offense, Grumpa. No offense. The picture is of Grumpa walking the daughter down the aisle with tears streaming down our soon-to-be-married daughter's face. And our grandson asked why she was crying. And she told him she was crying happy tears. And sometimes people cry at weddings because they're so happy. So without missing a beat, he asked with a very confused and slightly elevated tone of voice, "So she married Grumpa?" His mom laughed. But he was not laughing, so she quickly explained their tradition to him and felt a lot better after that. I absolutely love your podcast. Both of you make me laugh every time. I do want to say, though, that part of the reason I started listening to your podcast many years ago, when it was called Nobody's Listening, honestly, it was the name that made me start listening to it because, you know, we were telling people not to listen, and that's reverse psychology, apparently. But Jody says, I also like that story show. Also, it was a clean comedy podcast, which was very hard to find, and I was immediately hooked. So thank you, Jody B. from Beaver Creek.
Yeah.
Beaver Creek.
Yeah. And thanks for straightening out your son, because, I mean, Grumpa is my father? Oh, God, no! He's so terrible! I hate him.
Jody, don't tell your husband what we said about Grumpa. That we might hurt his feelings.
Well, there's one letter between Grump and Grumpa.
Grump.
Yeah.
Grumpa.
How do you earn a name like that? I don't know.
That's great. Amy and I were talking the other day about what, you know, hopefully our one day, if we have grandkids, what they'll call us.
Yeah.
And you know, she's like, oh, there's so many good names for grandpas, you know, your papa, pops, gramps, poppy, all these things.
Yeah.
I'll have to tell her about Grumpa. But she says, like, for grandmas, there's nothing. You got Mimi and Grandma.
Nana.
So, Nana.
Yeah.
Nana, yeah. She didn't. Nanny. She doesn't seem to like
Nona.
Any of those. Yeah.
We called ours Ginga.
Ginga. Was that because her name was
No, it's because whenever there's actually an audio recording of me on a tape. When I was a baby, and they would say grandma, and I'd say Ginga. And so the kids all picked it up, and it became the thing we called grandma. So
you started that.
So Jody B's from Beaver Creek. Where is that at? I wonder, in Louisiana, maybe Arkansas, Alabama,
Beaver Creek,
Alabama, where, you know, maybe something like that, that kind of confusion on whether you're marrying your dad or not. Is more commonplace.
He was six. He was just a kid. He didn't know.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't know the culture of this state. You know, I don't know. I was listening to a comedian the other day, and he was like, "I'm from Georgia." He says, "I've never been in love with my cousin, but I know someone who is." He said he actually asked me about it. He's like, "Do you think I have a chance?" "No! No, you don't. Well, we have so much in common." "Yeah, uncles."
Man, I'm sure I told this story But long time. So I am in Georgia also. Shocker. And when I was new to being a pastor, I got a call. I wasn't the pastor. I was actually the kids pastor. So this was about 10 years ago. And a lady called the church and she wanted to talk to a pastor. And none of the pastors were in, just me, the kids pastor. And so the receptionist sent her through and she you know, told me about herself. She says, I'm getting married soon. And she said, well, the man I'm marrying is related to me.
Oh no.
And at first I was like, oh. I mean, I don't think I said it. And she's like, it's like a distant cousin or something like that. But she wanted to know if it was okay according to a Christian or a pastor for her to marry a distant relative. It's like, well,
distant in the Bible,
Abraham and Sarah were kind of related somehow. But I mean, if I don't know. So
I'm a children's pastor. Bye. Click.
Just by the way, you're talking to Leroy James over at First United Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, I just say, you know, it's not my monkey, not my circus. Sure, marry him. Marry the freak.
Yeah.
You know, y'all have some freak babies. I'm from Georgia. I don't accept it, but I understand it, you know, so go for it. Distant cousin. How do you have a distant cousin?
I don't know, like maybe like twice or three times removed or something. I don't
yeah,
know.
But then
wasn't like it was her brother, so.
Just like if you're going to your family reunion to pick up chicks, you know, that's just to find a husband. Maybe the Lord will bless me. I just no.
Maybe not.
Anyway, okay. This is called Shameful Smooch from Montag in Berryville. So a bit of background. In 2010, my wife and I had just gotten married, and as newlyweds, I was in the habit of constantly giving my wife a hug and then a kiss. So, you know, a habit. So one night after work, my sister invited us over for her birthday, but my wife was sick, so I went straight to my sister's house from work. And when I walked in, my sister greeted me with a hug. And then I went in for the kiss.
Oh, no.
I was in millimeters, within millimeters,
millimeters
of kissing my sister.
No.
On the mouth. Thank the Lord above, I stopped before that happened. My sister jerked her face back. She turned bright red. She proceeded to punch me in the shoulder. Her husband hit me with a baseball bat. No. Anyway, thanks for all the great laughs y'all produce, and thanks to the Lord for his constant protection over me and my family.
Yes, and amen. Montag is in the chat room.
Montag's like, I need to call a pastor and ask about this.
There was no actual connection made with the lips. But I mean,
Montag, this is post COVID, buddy. You ought to have better sense.
If this was back in 2010. So that
okay. Never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's fine. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sister kisser.
That changes everything.
Emmylou said he's from Arkansas. So
yeah, maybe things are different there. I don't know. I don't.
I mean, the Bible does say greet each other with a holy kiss.
I don't judge. You know, I just think you're gross. That's all. If you can handle that, then we're gonna get along fine. All right, John, your turn.
Okay. This story comes to us from Azzy Fletcher and
Unumclaw,
Washington. Unumclaw.
Unumclaw.
Unumclaw. It's more like a sound than it is a word.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Unumclaw. But I mean, the first name Azzy is pretty awesome. So this is Surrey Serration.
Serration.
Surrey. Surrey. Oh, no, Serration. I don't know if I'm going to want this. Anything with the word serration in it?
Yeah.
Can't be good. All right. So this story happened in 2019 when I was 8. So I was with my family at the Tacoma waterfront to do something fun, quote unquote, fun as a family. We decided to ride a Surrey Sounds like an English bicycle or something.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what a Surrey is, it's kind of a four-wheeled bicycle that four people can pedal at the same time and one person drives. That sounds terrible. That sounds like an accident waiting to happen.
It's definitely a tourist okay. thing. That's for darn sure.
Like, I don't know that I've ever seen one of those.
Yeah.
A four-person bicycle that one person drives.
In St. Louis, I've seen a bar that actually does that, where there's like 12 people around and one person's and they're pedaling. All kind of, and,
but they're facing each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they kind of have pedals where they can kind of keep things going.
They're way too happy, making way too much noise. Yeah, I live right next to the part of town that's like the party part of town. So I get to see.
You need to capitalize on that and get a Surrey and rent them out.
I should.
All right. So the best way to describe this is if a carriage and a bicycle had a baby. Okay, well, that makes sense now.
Okay.
Carriage and a bicycle
I'm
had
done
a baby.
With this. We've got sister kissing. We've got cousins getting married. We've got babies being born between Surreys and scooters and whatever have you.
Grandpas marrying their daughters.
We can't.
Grandpas.
We can't call this a clean show if we keep putting this kind of stuff in our show. That's all I know. Come on, guys.
We'll make a way around it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as he says, anyways, I was getting a little bored, so I wanted to pedal for a bit. So I scooted over to the pedaling station and tried to pedal, but I quickly realized that I was too short. So I decided to stand on the pedal. Everything was going smoothly for about 10 seconds. Mm. Then my foot slipped off the pedal and into the chain. The chain quickly tore through my foot. No, I'm just kidding. The underside of my flip-flop and my big toe got sliced.
Oh, right down the middle, all the way to the bone.
There you go.
Wait, put this in here, James.
Okay, give me just a second. I just need to. I got a little blood going to my head.
Yeah, a little chainsaw action going on the bike there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, blah, blah, blah. I didn't think it was going to go that way. I thought it was just, my foot got stuck in the chain. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but like I said, serration, you can't put that in there. And okay, all the way to the bone is where it went. The worst part was that everyone was still pedaling with my toe caught in the chain. I screamed at the top of my lungs and ripped my toe out of the chain.
Hey.
Then a pool of blood started to form, so my mom carried me all the way to urgent care with blood in her hands.
Yes, that's mother's.
The people at urgent care bandaged my toe, and I still have a scar to this day. I hope this makes it on the show. Yes, I found a piece of flip-flop in my toe a year later.
That's awesome. Some people call it a scar. Other people call it two separate big toes now. I don't know.
Why Azzy?
Oh, I found a piece of flip-flop. And see, I believe that because my mom, my sister was driving. It was a sudden stop. She couldn't help it. Somebody pulled out in front of her. My mother was the only one in the car not wearing her seatbelt because she's too good for seatbelts, dadgummit. She was born before seatbelts were mandatory. But her head went into the windshield and made a dent in the windshield, like a head-shaped dent. And there was hair stuck in the cracks and stuff. And her head got all bloody and this, that, and the other. Well, fast forward a good 5 years, and she's at my house visiting her grandchildren. And she's kind of scratching at her forehead. And she goes, oh. And she looks at what she's got pinched in her fingers. And she's like, look at this, a piece of glass. It must have been from that accident with Amy. Oh, my goodness. All those years ago. So her skin had grown and purged itself of this piece of glass that was embedded in her head. So you know what that says to me is that my mom didn't seek medical attention when she got in the accident. She just put a freaking bandage over it because it's free and went on about her business. Oh,
well,
and her skin encapsulated a piece of glass.
When I was in that accident, I got like my arm went through the window and I got glass in it. And the doctors did look, you know, to make sure all the glass had come out. And some of it was still in there even after they sewed it up.
Oh.
And so some little tiny pieces came out, you know, kind of in the scabs. But here's what's crazy. I actually still have a piece of glass in my arm. You can kind of see it right there.
No, cut it out, yeah, man. Cut it out.
It's been there for so long. I feel like it's in part of me. I don't know how to. I mean, I'll have to go to a surgeon.
I didn't know you were a freaking cyborg. I would have never had you on the show.
It's just glass.
No, this is the beginning. This is how it starts. It's just glass. It's just a microchip. It's just wires going from my head to my knee. Yeah. It's just a little bit of a memory upgrade. Yeah, I'll do it for you.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you can do it painlessly, that would be great.
Yeah, just a little slice right there. You won't feel right it till after it's over. Yeah, I can see it in the camera. That's the grossest thing ever. You have a piece of – that's a big chunk of glass, dude. How did they miss that? You need to sue the doctor.
I should. I wonder if I could get a new car out of it.
Hey, can you put some more glass with this glass and some metal and some electronics?
Maybe I can get it taken out and make a necklace out of it or something.
Oh, put it on a keychain. You know, just imagine if you ever get if you die and they cremate you, and there's all this dust and a chunk of glass,
a little piece of glass in there.
It's his soul.
Although we'll be a little, if you know, when they cremate me, there'll be a little bit of metal because I got that titanium in my jaw. Oh,
wow.
Yeah, cool deal. Maybe, I mean, I could get that taken out and turn that into that can be the ring, the necklace that holds the ring, make it out of whatever. Anyways. Sorry, that's gross. That's gross.
Not as gross as a toe getting caught in a chainsaw.
Yeah, no. Two big toes.
It's so great.
Flip floop. I think somebody in the chat room said flip floop.
All right. This is from Sherry Kurtz. It's called Batarang Bust. My 21-year-old son was traveling with his intervarsity group to Kenya. Where can you see tigers or lions? Only in Kenya. Old school.
Really?
Old school reference. There we go. For a month of missions work, he packed a suitcase and his old backpack and headed out, not knowing he had a batarang with a sharp blade on it in the very bottom of his backpack.
That's kind of awesome, actually.
How do you not know? When are you keeping a batarang? I'm just going to put it in this carry-on bag and forget about it.
See the TSH agent finding that? Sir, can you want to tell me? I'm Batman.
Exactly.
Shut up.
He traveled from O'Hare Airport to JFK to Heathrow to Kenya with no one finding the weapon.
What?
I know. That puts a lot of faith in the TSA, doesn't it?
Oh, man.
Several countries. he was not so lucky on the return trip. So he got through Kenya, but upon entering Amsterdam, the security found the quote unquote weapon.
Oh, yeah.
He was pulled in and questioned for quite some time, thoroughly searched, and finally let go.
Where do you keep your utility belt, sir?
What are you doing with this here in our country?
They confiscated the batarang. And finally, he was free to leave.
This is way too cool for you to have, sir. We must take it.
However, if he ever happens to fly through that country again, he will automatically be flagged and searched again. Why? I like to think that Amsterdam has him on a special Batman list.
Yes.
Watch out for that guy. He's a millionaire playboy who fights crime every evening. Thankfully, the missions trip went well and all's good. And my son was cleared to leave. But in Amsterdam, he's tagged as a possibly dangerous, possibly masked vigilante. Sherry Kurtz.
That's awesome. I love it.
Stay out of Amsterdam, buddy. You're in trouble over there.
I believe it's pronounced Amsterdarn.
Oh, sorry. We're a clean show. I forgot.
Rated E for everyone. 10 and up.
Yeah.
Amsterdarn.
Well, then have fun with the title of this next show, story.
Okay. This comes to us from Trevor. It's Pastor Perv. His name is Perv, right? Is that why you named it that? Because his name's Perv?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Okay. One of my most embarrassing moments in youth ministry was when I decided to go to a high school girls track meet to cheer on some youth that I'd first met at a coffee shop. Being a youth pastor, that's one of the things I didn't like about being like in children's and youth ministry is they like expect you to show up to these events and it's so awkward. Like I brought a kid lunch once at school because, you know, she won a thing at the school. Yeah. And so I brought her lunch and I was like, hey, you want me to sit down and eat with you? Cause I brought my lunch too. And she's like, that's okay. Like, thank you. Thank you so much for that. I'll go eat my lunch in the car.
So didn't want to anyway.
Yeah, here we go. Being a youth pastor on an impulse, I decided to share the gospel with them. A couple weeks later, I heard they were having a track meet, so I went to cheer them on because, you know, I wanted to show them that I was a real person. Now, my wife, who was then my girlfriend, was going to go with me, but she ended up having to study for a test that afternoon. So I went by myself, glad that I could be an encourager to these youth. So there I was, waving hi to some of the youth I recognized, when all of a sudden, I was approached by one of the girl's parents.
Oh no!
He started drilling me with questions. How old I was, why was I there, etc., etc., etc. And then it hit me how utterly inappropriate this was. I knew none of these parents. To them, I was some creeper, some 23-year-old with a hidden agenda.
Oh.
To make matters worse, this parent was a cop. To make matters even worse, I had forgotten my license back at home.
Oh.
This cop filed a police report and then called my pastor to verify the information and to complete his investigation.
Oh, my goodness.
Needless to say, that day I got a crash course in healthy boundaries in youth ministry. Trevor. Man.
There's a lot of stuff you have to worry about when you're a youth or children's pastor. I mean, do we agree on this? Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff. Like, okay, for instance, I remember when I was planning some games, we needed blindfolds. And so I started getting on Amazon, I got on Google, and I started Googling blindfolds. And to my surprise, there was nothing available out there. I know that you can tie a handkerchief around, but I wanted something that was made for that purpose. And then it hit me. There's no market for kids' handkerchief what do I call them?
Blindfolds.
There's only two types of people that would ever want them. One would be children's pastor. The other would be kidnappers. You know, I did end up solving my problem though. What I did is I got swimming goggles and took the plastic parts off, spray painted the outside black, and then put the plastic parts back in. And it was great. It worked. They worked perfectly.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And, that's another thing about children's ministry and youth ministry. You have to be ingenuitive.
Yeah.
Ingenuitive.
Yeah.
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 And you also have to learn those lessons of, you know, boundaries, healthy boundaries.
I always wondered what people were thinking though, when I was buying stuff for children's ministry, cause I'd be buying stuff for home and for the kids. And, I mean, I've told this on the show years ago, but one time I was getting like normal stuff and then I needed wood chips. So I bought a big bag of wood chips, you know, like for a hamster's cage or whatever. And the guy behind the cash register had this amazing thick accent and he looks at me and he goes, "So how many rabbits do you have?" And I'm like, "What?"
"What?"
He says it again. "How many rabbits do you have?" And I'm like, oh, this.
The wood chip.
Do I explain to him that I'm buying it for an object lesson and go through the scriptures and tell him the whole thing? Or do I just say, I have four?
Except there will be one less tonight because he's going to be dinner.
We're going to eat him. So, all right. This one, this one's our last one. It's called Accidental Invitation. It's from Brock Lee. It goes like this. My name is Brock Lee. And I have
Broccoli.
Broccoli. I'm sure he's never heard that before.
I'm sure he's not. I'm sorry, Brock.
It's like when I was in Spain, I was looking at the kids' pictures on the wall, and there was this Asian kid, and his name was Daniel Sun, S-U-N. And I'm like, does he even know Daniel Sun? You
know, from Daniel Sun.
Yeah. Poor guy. Anyway,
kid.
My name's Broccoli, and I have been a diehard fan of That Story Show for quite some time now. And let me tell you, it's pure comedic joy and gold, rather. You guys crack me up every time. If I stumbled upon a genie with three wishes, you bet one of those wishes would be a good solid high five for each of you. You deserve it. There we go. Today, I have a hilarious story of my own to share with you guys. So picture me about 8 months ago, tirelessly planning my daughter Bailey's 7th birthday bash with my wife. I was meticulously sending out the party invitations via email to her friends' parents, ensuring no one missed out on the celebration. How'd you get roped in at all? Don't you know this is something you should steer clear of?
Right. You're supposed to be camping that day.
It's like having an opinion in your own wedding. It's like, men, just shut up. Shut up and give the woman whatever she wants. It's her special day. Just shut up.
I love
it. Anyway, as I meticulously selected the recipients, that sneaky autofill feature played a wicked trick on me. In a moment of optical illusion, I clicked on what I thought was our friend Jill's name, but instead I had clicked Jim. Jim was my boss.
Oh, no.
I never noticed. I didn't catch it. I had no clue that I had just invited my boss to one of his random employees' kids' birthdays. I guess the universe was conspiring against me that day. So the email went off to the digital abyss and life carried on. Fast forward to the day of the party. The air was infused with laughter. The house was bursting with games. And the tantalizing aroma of cake wafted through every corner. Everything seemed perfect. And then there was a knock at the door. I swung it open, only to find my boss, Jim, his lovely wife and their two kids, aged 6 and 9, standing there with gifts and smiles galore. My brain just wasn't working right.
Oh, man.
Why was my boss crashing my daughter's birthday shindig? The only thing that escaped my bewildered mouth was, Jim? And the man just grinned mischievously as if he had pulled off the ultimate prank. Turned out Jim had received the accidental invitation, and being a good sport, he decided to join the party anyway. Talk about unexpected guests. I was fired immediately, presents, of course. Say what?
Yeah. By the way, you can pack up your stuff. Actually, these aren't gifts. This is your stuff.
This is your crap. You
keep it. Yeah.
At our subsequent team meeting, Jim couldn't resist regaling the whole staff with the side-splitting saga. The laughter echoed through the office as he recounted his decision to take the unexpected invitation and join in the festivities. Man, he got his kids dressed. He brought his wife. He did the whole thing.
Got his wife to go. Man.
Anyway,
he either got fired or got a raise. One or the other.
A friend for life. Needless to say, every eye in the room was locked onto me as they relished in the absurdity of my blunder. But hey, I laughed along too. Because that's what's life without a little comedy at your express. Broccoli messed up. Broccoli made a mistake. Go ahead and rub it in. My name's Broccoli.
Yeah.
So James and John, that's the unforgettable story of how I accidentally roped my boss into attending my daughter's 7th birthday extravaganza. I hope it tickled your funny bone as much as it did mine. Keep up the fantastic work on the show. I hope this makes it on the show.
Yes.
Give me some of that classic bell ring, Brock Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we did.
That is so awesome. First of all, to have a boss that cool.
Yeah.
Who, like, or was like, you know what? He probably didn't mean to give this to me, but I'm showing up anyway with my children and my wife.
Yeah. Or he was desperate. You know, there's always that character in the show that the boss wants to be cool and liked by everyone. And he always tries to get invited to drinks after work and nobody wants him there.
Nobody does.
Yeah, maybe that was it. He like knew it was a mistake, but he's like, dude, I finally I'm bringing everybody. Bringing my kids.
The whole family so they can see that I'm human too.
Yeah. See that I have a lovely wife.
Yeah, and kids, and they'll get presents. The name Brock, I knew a kid named Brock.
Yeah.
Actually, I know there's a kid at school here named Brock. And every time I see that name Brock, I think That is what the chickens call you when they're out in the yard.
Brock,
Brock, Brock, Brock, Brock, Brock, Brock. I wonder if they ever get frustrated being around chickens.
You keep turning Brock, around. Brock, what? Brock. What?
What? Stop calling my name unless you're going to give me something. Jerk chickens.
Chickens are dumb.
Chickens are really dumb.
They are so stupid.
I miss my chickens, so.
Oh, sorry about that. I forgot about that. I want to mention some Patreon people. You can support us on Patreon for ad-free listening swag and weekly bonus content. We're about to record some here in a minute. I want to thank the patrons. It's quite a list that came on while we were gone. Ray Ray, Jen Jen, Stephen Butler, Liam, Robert Falding, Christine Diedrich, Michael Chink Mars, Vanessa, First Generation Farmer, Kale Lawrenson, Nate St. Clair, and Alan Farber. And we appreciate that. If you want to go and support this show, you can do so at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. Okay, now it's time for us to award one amazing storyteller in our weekly story contest. Somebody's going to win $50. Let's find out who. All right, John. So what do you think? Suri Serration was pretty funny, though it grossed you out.
Yeah.
Misunderstood Marriage was funny.
Yeah, Grumpa. And
Grumpa.
The but story, Learned Pastor Perv. And they were all good.
The one I laughed at the most was the Sister Smooch, though. The Shameful Smooch by Montag. So that one gets my vote.
I'm right there with you. I think, I like the last story with the accidental invitation, but almost kissing your sister, that seems to be right up at the top there.
Awesome. 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 Well, there you go. Montag, hit us up, james@nlcast.com, and we will get out your $50 prize. Time for us to get out of here, though. Thank you so much. Surely you have a story and you'd like to hear it on the show. Submit your story entry at thatstoryshow.com. Review the show on iTunes because it helps. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks, John.
Thanks, James.
Yeah.
Thanks, chat room.
Yeah, I stuttered a bit there because thatstoryshow.com is the website, but I also have thatstory.show.
Right.
And that's the one I want to promote because that's the coolest. But I often worry, will people know it's a URL? You know? So.
Huh.
Anyway, we're glad to be back. It's we're ready to get back into this on a weekly basis.
Yes, sir. Just in time for school to start up.
We're going to have guest hosts that are going to come on the show. Real comedians, stand-up comedians. We're going to do more interactive stories. It's going to be great.
I am looking forward to it, James. I'm excited.
Yeah, look for it in August. We've got people already booked.
On in August.
Yeah.
That's just around the corner.
It's right around the corner. And my birthday's on the 8th, so I want a VW Beetle delivered to my house pronto. Thank you.
This show is part of the Nobody's Listening podcast community. Get more at nlcast.com.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.